Welcome to the Food Science Snob. Hey guys, and welcome back to episode 3. So today the myth that I will be busting is,
what kinds of foods make me bloated, Ariel?
And this episode today might stink a little. So I'm trying to figure out when farts and burps became like this taboo thing, because I have a little sister and she's thoroughly entertained by the thought of these things and jokes about them. And even as a kid myself, I remember a song.
Beans, beans, the musical fruit. The more you eat, the more you toot.
So why is it that we grow up and we become ashamed of these things? I mean, honestly, it's just biology, right? I mean, also, that song is actually pretty accurate, because foods like beans tend to cause gas because our bodies are not well equipped to digest them. So it's funny and educational. I mean, honestly, what more can you want? All right, well, with that being said,
let's get snobby.
So I'm going to go ahead and define bloating right now so that we can all be on the same page throughout the duration of this episode. Alright, so bloating is defined as a sensation of increased abdominal pressure, which can cause flatulence, feelings of fullness, abdominal hardness, tightness, and swelling, which is everyone's worst enemy in the summer, right? Or is that just me? So, when you get bloated, what part of your body is actually receiving these symptoms? Well, if you're like me, you probably thought it was your stomach. It's not. It's actually your gut.
Wait, what's my gut?
Well, it's an entire bodily system that starts with the mouth and ends with your colon. So it's way more than just that thing that gives you feelings about right or wrong or butterflies. In fact, this gut of yours is home to 100 trillion microorganisms. And these organisms can be things such as bacteria, parasites, and fungi. Anyways, this nasty-sounding collection is also known as your gut microbiome, and everyone's is unique, but they all provide the same functions, which are to aid in digestion, immune health, metabolism, and weight and sleep regulation. In fact, almost 90% of the serotonin in your body is made in the gut, and serotonin is the chemical that makes you feel happy or relaxed. So, a healthy, resilient gut biome relies on richness and diversity. So, when the diversity and the balance are out of sync, it can cause problems, such as leaky gut. And leaky gut is when the layer of mucus coating the intestinal lining becomes weak, which allows for harmful toxins and microbes to penetrate the lining, causing inflammation or swelling or bloating, depending on your choice of words. So, if you're feeling lost right now, and that was a little too sciencey for you,
boring.
Let me say it for you this way. A healthy gut equals a healthy you. Gluten is not making you bloated, bad eating habits aren't 100% the reason why you're bloated, and bloating isn't just something you have to deal with for the rest of your life. All you have to do is get that gut health in check. So, how do you do that? Well, you're probably gonna hate this answer, but it's balance. Balance your checkbook, balance your schedule, balance your chakras, balance whatever you want, as long as you're also balancing your gut. So, let me give you an example real quick. In your gut, you have some guys that are there to fight inflammation, but you also have some that support it. This is because inflammation is needed to signal and repair, but also defend against invaders. So when these guys and all the other gut creature biome pairs are in sync, you are gut healthy, aka bye-bye bloating, an upset stomach, and unwanted weight changes, and skin irritation, and hello, better sleep and a flatter tummy. But how do you actually get to this state? Well, the short answer here is to change your diet. Oh, and also sleep more and stress less. But if you're like me and that seems kinda impossible, here's a more realistic approach. Let's start by establishing this. What you eat matters. And no, I don't mean just cutting all carbs and fast food is gonna instantly heal you and cause you not to bloat and blah, 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 blah. Like, that's not how it works. That's not how it happens. And honestly, that diet just doesn't even sound fun. So let me do a little flashback Friday to biology for a second for you. So let's say you're eating a nice meal. The saliva in your mouth gets the process going, and your teeth are chomping, and your food slowly makes its way down to your stomach. Here, that nice meal will meet your stomach acid and partially dissolve into a solution. This solution will then move into your intestines. And in the small intestine, most of this nutrients from your meal will be absorbed. These are items such as fat, carbs, and protein. What is still there, usually starch and fiber, move on into the colon. So here, if your gut is unhealthy, bacteria will eat this and naturally return to homeostasis, aka stability, aka not bloated. But if you're like me and your gut is on the unhealthy side, you will not have enough good bacteria in your gut to digest all the food at once, and your body will take longer to return to homeostasis and actually go into its own measures of doing so, also known as creating methane and, if you don't know what that means, as creating gas. So, how can we avoid this unfortunate series of events? Well, for starters, try eating slower. You'll consume less air that will get forced out later. Also, try consuming less carbonated drinks. And yes, this does mean soda and LaCroix too. With less carbon dioxide in your body, you'll create less gas. Also, a little side note here in case you were wondering, a burp is mainly swallowed excess air. It can carry the smell of food from your stomach or your mouth, but in the end, it is just air. A fart comes from your large intestine, and it's gas produced by food broken down into waste. So yes, they are different. One is just something that's already been made being released, and one is your body making something. Oh, and going back a little bit, I hate to break it to you, but all you chinny hipsters out there drinking from straws? Well, straws are also another form of consuming more air than needed. So, ditch those metal straws for no straws at all to save your pants and the ocean. Okay, I'm almost done being the bearer of bad news here, I promise. But one last little secret for you. All those low-cal diets and foods you may be consuming, well, they're causing you to bloat too. This is because artificial sugars like aspartame are unrecognizable to your body. I mean, hello, why do you think they're zero calories, people? Come on now. So, basically, the sugar that your body doesn't know what it is or what to do with it just sits there in your gut, freaking out your bacteria, causing it to be in your gut for longer periods of time, which lead to expansion and gas buildup. And you guessed it, bloating. Okay, let me stop being a Debbie Downer here. Let's talk good things. For starters, some of my favorite gut-healthy foods are beans, oats, bananas, yogurts, onions, and garlic. Foods like these can be broken down into two categories, prebiotics and probiotics. Let's start with prebiotics. Prebiotics are fibrous foods. Fibrous foods cannot be broken down and are left in the gut to help promote gut homeostasis. These are foods like beans, bananas, and green leafy vegetables. Probiotics, on the other hand, are live, good bacteria that are in the food and also stay in your gut, but they are there to actually do work. So they sit in the gut and they help eat starch and other things left over by your food. Probiotics can be found in products like kombucha and yogurt. So, as I previously mentioned, everybody's body is different. Something that I suggest doing before you begin this gut-healthy endeavor is to keep a food diary of all the meals, snacks, desserts, whatever, that you consume, and also to track your mood and health along with this for a period of 1 to 2 weeks. This will help to give you a better idea of what foods your body in particular responds to in a negative way. Foods that people typically usually have issues with are foods that have excess fiber, excess sugar and starch, alcohol, soda, and also pain meds and antibiotics too. So once you know what things affect your body, here's the approach that I have been doing to reduce my bloating and increase my gut health. Step one was to avoid as much as possible. I know it might be hard. Trust me, I love ice cream, like a lot. But avoiding this as much as possible will help you, and your body will thank you for it later. So, step two is to promote. I promoted good bacteria to grow in my body by eating prebiotics. Remember, prebiotics are those fibrous foods like green leafy vegetables. And step three was to repopulate with the probiotics. Think like yogurt. So probiotics can also be found in liquid and powder forms. And actually a great example of a liquid probiotic is apple cider vinegar. Make sure it has the mother, though, because this is where all the gut-healthy benefits are found, like yeast, which is a probiotic, and acetic acid bacteria, which is the prebiotic, so it's actually like a two-in-one deal, so that's pretty cool. And this is actually the method that I use to repopulate my gut health, and I've actually seen a big difference. Like, I usually take a 1 tablespoonful first thing in the morning, and ooh, let me tell you, it is a great substitute for a morning cup of coffee. Like, it's strong, it'll wake you up, you've been warned. But actually, if you like add some lemon to it and some water, it's kind of like pretty good, you know? I've gotten used to it, kind of like it. I don't know, maybe I'm just weird. So luckily, most cases of bloating do disperse quickly. I mean, I usually find that overnight, my body does a little reset, if you will, and the bloating that I had the night before is gone. This is because having 8 or more hours of nothing in the in your GI tract allows for the intrabowel contents, which is usually food volume and gas, to be whittled down a bit and allows the bloating to subside. This is where people usually get the term morning skinny from, because your GI tract has emptied itself. Okay. But if you are the exception and you just really are sensitive to food, for people like that, I would suggest checking out the FODMAP, F-O-D-M-A-P diet, which is also quite a mouthful. Anyways, these types of carbohydrates are not easily broken down or absorbed in the gut, which is why more sensitive people should avoid these. So essentially, this diet cuts out foods that can cause bacterial growth and leads to bloating. This means cutting out wheat and onions and apples, pears, mushroom, honey, cabbage, and sometimes even milk. And hopefully you've noticed that those maybe aren't the foods that you thought they would be. Like mushrooms, onions, apples, pears, honey, cabbage, those are all things that are marketed as healthy, right? And like, so why should you avoid them? I mean, I thought it would be like sugar, soda, carbs, you know, like those things that people vilify, as I said earlier. But no, it's actually the more healthier foods. So look at that. Anyways, people with a slow to empty stomach may wake up bloated and even suffer from chronic constipation. So if you think this is you, I think it would be a good idea for you to make an appointment with your doctor, because bloating can be like a sign of very serious issues. But if you're just like me, it's usually just a little bit of bloating leading to aesthetically displeasing looks. And so usually the things that I mentioned will work, but if not, then yes, please go see a doctor. And I don't want to hear another person say to my face ever again that they are bloated because they are eating too many carbs or anything else. Because it's not the food that's causing you to bloat, honey. It's your gut. So please stop vilifying all my favorite food groups out there like grains and dairy. And with that being said, consider this myth slid. That is the end of episode 3. So I know it's kind of late. I know summer's almost over. Sorry. But next summer, you'll be hot girl ready for sure.
I hope I answered all of your questions. I'm your snob, Ariel Carter. I hope you all enjoyed it, and be sure to subscribe to the podcast and follow me on my social medias. If you want to let me know your thoughts on this week's podcast, you can DM me at foodsciencesnob on Instagram or Twitter. I'll talk to all of you guys on my next episode. Have a wonderful week. Bye!